You're going to go ahead and open up your Bible to Luke chapter 15. We're going to finish out the end of that chapter as we began last week. But I was sitting and kind of laughing a little bit with Mike as he was making the announcements. And there at the end, he's talking about a meeting immediately after surgery. And I started thinking to myself, well, I've heard my sermons a lot of different ways, but never as surgery. But anyway, maybe you have. I don't know. Luke chapter 15 and verses 25 through 32 will be the end of this passage, this little section, this parable of the prodigal son. You know, if you were here last week, you know, we were talking about the younger son, the prodigal son, and we were talking, I told you we would be discussing the older brother, the older son today. And I wanted you to get this and understand that this parable is really not about the younger brother or the older brother. The whole point of this parable, if you remember, is about the father. There is the emphasis of this parable. But we are looking at it, if you will, through two different sets of eyes. How the younger brother, the prodigal, saw his father, and how today the older brother sees his father. There's two different perspectives, if you will, about the father and his forgiveness. Now, I don't know about you, if you have a sibling and you grew up with that sibling, and sometimes one of the siblings usually gets forgiveness a little more often than the other one does. Or maybe in such a way that is bigger and better and stronger than the way you get it. At least if you're looking through your eyes, it doesn't hurt near so much when your brother gets whooped as it did when you got it, right? And so we have different perspectives of looking at and understanding forgiveness or punishment or any other kind of thing in our house as we're growing up. So today, I just want to share a couple of thoughts with you about the older brother and his kind of response to his brother coming home, and then as looking at what it takes to truly grasp and understand forgiveness. I want you to get ready. I should have just made a PowerPoint of a couple of things, and I didn't. Thought about it this morning. But I'm going to get a piece of paper out. If you have one in the pew in front of you or behind you, or you need to borrow one, I just ask you to go ahead, get a piece of paper, and in a few minutes, I'm going to give you some things to write down. You can look at it when you get home, but I want to do a comparison in just a few minutes, and I want you to have a piece of paper to write a few things down and you to look at it and study it on your own, pray about it yourself. All right, the older brother's response. When we look at the older brother and we read the things that he says, look with me in verse 25. Now, the older brother, his older son, was in the field, and when he came and he approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He summoned one of the servants, and he began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he became angry, and he was not willing to go in. And his father came out, and he began pleading with him. And he answered, and he said to his father, "Look, for many years I have been serving you. I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. And he was lost and he has been found." Now, as many times as I've read this story, and I'm sure you have as well, I start looking at this and reading this and trying to grasp, try to put myself in the older brother's shoes. How are you looking? How are you thinking? How are you seeing? And I can't, from the very beginning, I don't understand. How many of you would come up to your house where you live, where you lay your head on your pillow every single night. The lights are on. There's music playing. There's dancing. There's all this stuff going on, and you're not going to go in and find out what's happening. Who does that? If I pulled up in my driveway and all the door or the windows are up, music is being played, you can tell the house is full of people, all of that's going on, I'm going to go in to find out what's happening. Who in the world is in my house? What are they doing? Why is all this going on without me? He doesn't. He stops and he looks and he asks, what's going on? And he asks to one of the servants, hey, what's going on in my house? And he says, tells him what's happened. And immediately he says, he got angry. I'm angry. Why was he angry? His brother came home. And he looks at his brother and he thinks, my brother took all of this money and he left and he squandered it. He went and blew it. He had all kinds of fun. He didn't have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go out and feed the livestock. He didn't have to get out and hook up the horse, because they didn't have tractors back then. Hook the horse up to the plow or the mule or the oxen or whatever and plow fields. He didn't have to do any of those things. I'm angry. Here he comes home and they're throwing a party for him. Why, Father, are you doing that? I don't want anything to do with this. Self-pity. He starts pouting. He's going to stand outside. I'm not even going to go inside. I'm going to stand right out here and let everybody know how I feel. I don't like it. How many of you can ever look back at your life and think, I acted that way once? Or a dozen times maybe? I don't like it. I don't like it that you're treating him so well. I don't like it that you've forgiven him and brought him in. And then he goes to that self-righteous attitude. Why? Look what he did with your stuff. Look what your son, not my brother, your son, look what he did. He squandered everything. I never made a mistake. I never did anything wrong, Dad. Everything you told me to do, I did it just like that. It's nice to look back and see our life that way, isn't it? Look back at my life and say, man, I'm a good guy. You men should be just like me. Right? That's what he's doing. That's what the older brother to his father is saying. Your son should have been like me. I did everything you asked me to do. Why does he deserve anything? Why does he deserve that? And so we start trying to realize, and this is the whole point the Lord is trying to make with him. Look at different perspectives on forgiveness in the kingdom of God. Look at your father, and I want you to understand when God forgives you, it's not how you would forgive someone. God is bigger than you. God is more loving than you. God is more forgiving than you. And you need his forgiveness in your life. And if God forgave like you forgive, where would you be right now? And so he's teaching them in such a way that it's going to smack them right in the face. And if we read this text today the way God wants us to read it, it might smack some of us right in the face. How are you forgiving? Do you understand God's forgiveness? Do you understand what God wants for you and what he's done for you? There's the question the Lord wants us to ask. So we look at the brother and we look at the way he responded to his younger brother returning. And so then you start kind of realizing, let's just make a little bit of application to some of these principles. And then I'm going to get to that piece of paper I told you to get out. Don't worry, we'll get there in just a minute. People bring up the question, was the older brother lost? I don't know that he was lost, because he said, all that I have is yours. You've always been with me. So I don't think there is a separation of relationship, but there is a little bit of ignorance on his lifestyle, the way that he has chosen to understand. Now, I think he's teaching us our responsibility towards God's forgiveness. When we look at God's forgiveness in this world or around us and lives around us, we need to understand it. We need to embrace it. We need to go, I understand what God has done, and maybe that's how I should be in my life. And you think about all that God has done, even when he's told us when a brother sins, and if we have to disfellowship him or her, a sister, in all of that, he says, you send them away. You tell them after you go through all those steps, I cannot even eat with you. Never, not one time ever in Scripture are we taught that we hate that person. Even if we have to go to the greatest lengths and disfellowship them and say, you're no longer allowed to worship in this church, no longer am I allowed to eat with you, it's never because I dislike you. It's because I love you and I want forgiveness to come in your life. The older brother should have been praying every day for his brother's return. Not to go and join him in the muck and the mire and the slop and the pigs and all of that stuff, not doing that, but praying that he would wake up and receive the forgiveness that the Father had for him. Because he's welcomed that forgiveness in his own life, but he wasn't there. We've got to learn to forgive. Our forgiveness has got to be like the Father's. It's got to be unconditional. Well, how do we forgive unconditionally? Whew, then it gets hard, doesn't it? How do we forgive unconditionally? Well, we've got to use God as our example. We've got to look at him and understand this. We've got to learn to welcome people back. That's what the Father did. What did he do? He ran to the prodigal son. He didn't stand there on his chair. He didn't pull up his paper and ignore him and say, I'll be with you in a minute. He saw him at a distance, and it says he ran to him and he embraced him and he kissed him. He wanted his son to return, and he went to him on his return and met him. And if we want to understand forgiveness, we've got to do the same. We've got to learn to welcome people back. It doesn't matter what someone has done. It doesn't matter what's gone on in their past. When someone says, God, forgive me, God forgives them. And we must as well. We've got to learn to forget. God has already forgotten. The older brother says, Father, look what he did. And the father could just as easily have said, do you think I don't know what he did? Do you think it didn't hurt me when he walked in and said, I don't love you. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be around you. I want to go squander everything you've worked for. Do you think it didn't hurt him and he doesn't know that? The older brother doesn't need to tell the father what the younger brother did because the father already knew. We've got to learn to forget. We've got to quit holding on. We've got to quit reminding ourselves of everything that's gone on. That's hard. I'm not telling you something that I've mastered. I'm telling you something that the Lord says we all need to be working on. How do we forgive? We start forgetting. We refuse to bring it up. Man, that's hard. Ed, you remember 2 years ago when you said something about team I root for? Ain't never forgiven you for that. You gloated over me. Gloated, I'm telling you. You even wore your team's colors for a week around me. That hurt my feelings. And I'm going to bring it up every week from the rest of my life. I'm going to let you know how much that hurt me. Now, we can laugh because that's a little bit funny. But we do things and we're offended and we're hurt. And if I've done something and I say, Ed, I'm sorry. I didn't think right. I shouldn't have said, I shouldn't have done this. What's his obligation to me? I love you. It's done. That's over. It's in the past. That's what we're supposed to do. No, that's what we're commanded to do. Why? Because that's what God does. And every time we refuse to do that, we're saying, God, Don't you remember what he's done? Don't you remember? And you should have the same judgment on him that I do. You should back me up in this, God. God says, no, that's my son, not yours. That's my child. You are going to forgive him because I already have. And we got to work with that. We got to struggle with that. And that's what the Lord is telling his disciples and all those other people around that are listening. He says, you've got to learn to forgive. You've got to learn to forget. And you've got to learn to rejoice when they come home. Your brother just came home. He was dead. Do you realize that? He was lost. He was dead. And now he is alive. Our Father's saying, the Lord's saying, the Father did what? The Father said, put a robe on his back. Put a ring on his finger, put shoes on his feet, kill the fattened calf, because we're going to celebrate because he's home. And he's telling us, you put the robe on his back, you put the ring on his finger, you put the sandals on his feet, you kill the fattened calf, and you rejoice with him because he was dead and now he's home. How many times do we rejoice with those who come back? Those who name Christ as the Messiah of their life and their Savior and their Lord, how many times do we rejoice in that? Sometimes it's not something that we really learn to rejoice with. And I'm not picking on anybody, but a lot of times what we do is we go, we're going to be late. We are. Man, that's the worst thing. That's what the older brother was doing. And that's the lesson, not that I've taught. This is what the Lord is teaching me. Hopefully all of us. You've got to learn to forget. You've got to learn to rejoice. You've got to learn to embrace. You've got to learn to welcome him back. Because I have. That's the Father's forgiveness. Does he have the right to forgive? Does he have the right to forgive his son who squandered everything? Yes, he does. Does he have the right to forgive the elder son who gave judgment on his little brother and told his dad, you don't understand, Dad. Maybe he's saying, you're a little bit ignorant, Dad. And sometimes we tell God that. God, you're a little bit ignorant because you don't think the way I think. We go, wait a minute. That's pretty harsh to tell God he doesn't understand how he should be. We've got to learn. You know, his father taught his sons. And when you look at those two brothers brought up in the same house, being taught the same things, and then you look at their perspectives, the way that they saw their father was a little bit different, wasn't it? The younger brother left, and when he woke up in feeding those pigs, doing all that thing that was just absolute nasty in his life, and he thought, my father is better to slaves, to servants, than I'm being treated. My father is kinder than anyone I've met, and I'm going to go home. And I'm going to tell him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your child, but I want to be your slave. How did he see his father? Maybe not completely to the depth that his father was, but he saw his father as a forgiving father, or he would have never gone back. He had learned some lessons from his father's life, and he had learned some of those, and he's like, I want to seek my father out. I want to go back to him because I've seen him. I've seen how he's treated people. I see how much he loves people, and I'm going to go back and ask him, forgive me, and just let me be a servant, a slave. I'll do whatever you want me to do because I trust you enough through my relationship with you to do whatever you tell me to do. We don't look at the prodigal son that way a lot of times, but he got it. He got the lesson finally. And then we look at the older brother who stayed there, and he was worked every day, and he's done everything that the father's told him to do, and he's been with him forever, and he's never left. He's never squandered things. He's never done those things, but he looks at the father and thinks, you shouldn't forgive. You should punish him. You should send him away and say you're no longer welcome to be a part of this family. He didn't understand his father. And he needed that lesson. And he needed to see his father forgiving his brother to slowly start letting it sink in and learn the lesson that his little brother learned. Choices in our life. We are one of those, and we are one of the older or the younger brother often in our life. How do we see God's forgiveness? How do we see what he has to say? Now, here's your piece of paper. Then here in Luke chapter 15, if you have a way to write on like two different columns, I'll just give you a word and a verse, and then on a column to the right, you can write above that others, the second column, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the passage that was just read a few moments ago. But on the left column is here in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 26. Here's some words. Here's some things as we read through that text that you'll see that the young or the older brother has learned about forgiveness, learned about his relationship with his father. In verse 26, he says he was suspicious. He came up and he began inquiring, well, hey, what's going on? Why do you go to your own house and won't and refuse to go in when all that's going on? Is because you don't trust whoever's in there. You don't trust your father. You don't trust someone that's in there. And you're going to find out before I go get in the middle of this what's really going on. You don't know your father if you're not willing to go in that house. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul is describing love or trust in God. If we want to love, then we need to understand, we need to trust in God. In verse 7, he says, love always trusts. What do you not trust God? What part of your life do you not trust in your Father? Is it in forgiving other people? Do you struggle with that? What do you not trust God in? That's a serious question. And please don't dismiss it. Please don't say, I trust God in everything. Then you're perfect. You don't make any mistakes. That's what that says. That's what the older brother kept saying. What are you struggling with in your life? And I imagine that we're going to struggle until the day we die. But the more that we admit, the more we look at ourselves in the mirror and say, I struggle with these things. Maybe I have a trust issue with my God in this area of my life. What is that area? What are you struggling with? It's okay to admit it. You don't have to get up here and admit it. But you need to admit it to yourself, to work on it, to look at it and begin praying, God, I don't want to be here. I want to embrace my brother. I want to love my brother. I want to do those things, even when it's hard. Verse 28, it says he was angry. He found out what was going on, and he said, I'm mad. I'm angry. I don't want anything to do with that brother of mine. I don't want anything to do with him. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, love is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. I want you to know I'm stepping on my toes more than anyone else in this auditorium. Anger keeps us away from a relationship with our Father. Satan does that so he can pull us aside and say, you're right. He shouldn't have done that to you. He shouldn't have said that. She shouldn't have treated you that way. You have all the right to be angry and mad and everything else. And you can just go on home today and be angry all day long. Matter of fact, go home and be angry if everybody else that's around you. Because if one person made you angry, you can have the right to treat everybody the same way. Just go ahead and do it. And we do it. But he says, no, no, no. Love is not easily angered. Nor does it keep a record of wrongs. The father said, I know what your brother did, but he was dead. Now he's alive. What are we going to do? In verse 29, his self-righteous attitude, I've always been faithful. I've always been here. I've always done this. I never miss worship or Bible class or Wednesday night prayer meeting or when we have a gospel meeting or a marriage enrichment seminar or anything else. I never miss any of those things. Never. I'm always there. Are you? That's what I thought. I didn't see you there. No. It's not about everything I've done right. He says in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13, love does not boast, nor is it arrogant. That's not love. Why do we do that? Because we look at that and we think somehow we deserve our Father's forgiveness. We deserve it because we've always been there. We deserve more than what someone else has done because they don't live the life that we've chosen to live. In verse 29 again, he said that self, that pity party. I didn't even get a young goat. You killed a fattened calf. I didn't even get a little goat. So I could celebrate with my friends. I didn't get anything. And I'm mad about it and I don't like it. And so we look at the Father again and he can just see him shaking his head going, you don't understand. You don't get it. Verse 5, 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is not self-seeking. What do we do for the people around us? When we have an opportunity to do good, do we choose to do that? Or is it always about, well, I've already done that. I've already served that. I've been in here for this many years, or I've done that for that many years. I've served. I've taught Bible class. I've. And it's time for me to have a rest. I'm going into retirement. We don't retire as Christians until the day we go to see the Lord. We don't do that. That's not who we are. Verse 30, the envy. You killed the fattened calf. Not only did I not get a goat, but you gave him the best. You killed the fattened calf. This is supposed to be for a very special occasion, and this brother who's done all the things that he's done, you killed the fattened calf for him. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, love does not envy. When we look at someone and something's going good for them, how many times do we honestly embrace them and say, man, I am so excited that you won this victory. I am so excited to hear that you accomplished this, or you got that promotion, or you did, or whatever. How many times do we focus on someone else and say, I am so proud of you for what you've done, and be sincere about it? Because that job should have been mine. I went twice as long before I got a promotion as you, or in whatever else. It says it does not envy. If we want to trust in God, if we want to understand His forgiveness and understand God, then we start understanding what it means, what God is, who He is. Verse 30, the contempt. We already mentioned this. This son of yours, he's not my brother. The older brother didn't say my brother. He said your son did all of these things. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13 says, love protects and hopes and perseveres. Are there contrasts there? Do you see the difference in attitude of the older brother and what Paul is saying to the Corinthian church? He could have very easily said it to the older brother. If the older brother was a real person, he'd say, here are the things that you need to change in your life. Here are the way you need to see God. Here's the way you need to see your own life and the decisions and choices that you've made in your life. Here's who you should be. And he's telling us that today. Here's who you need to be. Protect and hope and persevere in this life. That's what love is. Are you going to choose love? Malice, verse 30 in Luke 15. He squandered your property with prostitutes. It can't get any worse than that. This son of yours is the worst example of a human being in the history of mankind. And you forgave him. Are you kidding me? Paul says in verse 6 of 13, 1 Corinthians 13, love rejoices with truth. He's home. This brother of yours was dead and now he's alive. He's home. And then in verse 8 he says, love never fails. How come love never fails? Because God is love. That's what John writes in 1 John, right? God is love. Do you want to define love? Maybe we should start in 1 Corinthians 13 by going over to John and pulling John's text out and putting in there and saying, God is love. Now let me help you understand what love is. Now, older brother, do you get who your father is? Does he have the right to forgive your younger brother or not? Because the answer that you give to that question is also the answer that's going to be given to you when you ask God for forgiveness. Do you want to be forgiven? If you do, then we have to learn that God has the right to forgive our little brother who squandered everything in his life because we're no different. God loves us. Both of these examples are learned traits. Traits that we have committed to in our life and have chosen to become. What traits have you chosen to have in your life? Is 1 Corinthians 13 something that you look at often and say, God, I want to be this man. I want to be this woman. Help me today to be this. I want to make a commitment today, and I want that. But I will tell you this as we close this morning. Our Father has the right to forgive completely and fully. And it's up to us to choose whether we accept that forgiveness or not. But I'll tell you one more thing about the older brother, since that's what we were talking about this morning. I asked you, was he lost? Not in the text. But there's coming a judgment day when the celebration is going to happen. God, our Lord, is going to return, and he's going to welcome everyone home to that celebration. And if we refuse to go into the celebration, we will be left outside. The doors will be shut, and that elder brother, if he stays out there pouting, is going to be left out. We have a choice. There's a celebration going on. Do we want to be in that celebration or not? It's our choice. And the world doesn't get it. But sometimes we kind of forget what God is waiting to give us. That celebration is ready. And he's saying, are you going to come in? He's been pleading with us. But I tell you, he's going to turn around and he's going to walk back into that celebration and he's going to close the doors one day. And this morning, all I want to say to you is this. Don't be left outside. He's promised us that. We're welcome because of his great love for us. Are you going to choose to be in that celebration? If you have not named Jesus the Lord of your life, you are going to be left out. That's not me, and that's not what I want for you, nor does anyone here want that for you. We want to go in together. That's why we are brothers and sisters in this family, pulling and tugging on each other to get everybody there so that we can all go in together. That's what family's about. Are you ready to go in? If you haven't made those preparations, then why not? Why not choose it today? If you've wandered away like the prodigal and you realize who your father is and he wants to love you and he wants you to understand that love, he's ready to embrace you. He's ready to give you a kiss and hug you and put clothes on your back and shoes on your feet and a ring on your finger as his child if you're ready to accept it. That's an amazing thing to me, that God loves us that much. He's ready to welcome us home. So if you're ready to be welcomed, if you're ready to be welcome, why not accept that right now? Why not enter in right now while we stand and we see? Invitation's yours.
Hey, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the